Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio. Intriguing programs you want, information you need.
And here we are. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time you're listening. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Jeff Bushman Experience. And I have plenty of that because I'm Jeff Bushman. Today is January the 25th, 2015, if you're listening to us live. It still is January 25th, 2015 when we're doing the show, whenever you're listening to us. But we are very glad that you have joined us whenever it is. Most people listen to us in podcast edition, so if you're doing that, again, welcome and thank you for joining us, as many more people have been doing lately. A lot more people than I have any right to expect have been listening to the program. So thank you all. And if this is your first time with us and you are listening to us in podcast edition, we are live, in relative terms anyway, on Sundays at 6:30 Eastern p.m. The reason I give the time in Eastern time zone is because we're in Arizona. And while I clearly could give it, relatively few of our listeners, I expect, are in the Mountain Time Zone. And additionally, when everybody else changes their time, Arizona doesn't. So when you guys all go to daylight saving, we don't, because our legislature thinks it's a communist plot. So we remain on standard time, as a result of which, although now we're on the same time as Denver, for example, in Salt Lake City, when daylight saving occurs, we then go back to the same time as being in Los Angeles. If you've never lived here, that's really peculiar. And if you have lived here, it's still peculiar. Okay. In today's program, we're going to be talking about celebrity birthdays, living and dead. We are going to give a birthday wish, and we are also going to be talking about free college, Mario Cuomo, and Bill Gates. How's that for a good mix? And we will tell you again, probably, but I wanted to first cover the fact that come February, what is that? It's going to be after the 12th. I believe February 19th, which is a Thursday, we're going to be beginning the Thursday shows that we're going to start. The Thursday show will be essentially all interviews. And that will begin either the 19th or the 26th. I'm thinking the 19th. We will inform you on this program, also at bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, to which we invite you. And if your pop-up blocker doesn't block it and you're contemplating purchasing something through Amazon, or you just want to browse in Amazon, if you would click on the banner at the top of that site, you'd be doing us a great favor, because if you do buy something from Amazon through that, although it won't cost you any extra, they'll send us a few pennies from your purchase, and that obviously helps support the program. So that website, again, is bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. Bushman is B-U-S-H-M-A-N, books.blogspot.com, and you can find us there. We're also on Facebook, and we're on Twitter occasionally. And we're also on Medium. Medium is a site for those who wish to write or read, and that would be medium.com/Bushman1. That last digit is just the numeral 1. Let's get into the program. Now that we've done all this commercial garbage, let's talk about first famous birthdays. Today, as I mentioned, is January 25th, 2015. But in earlier years on this date, some famous people were born. And all four of our, well, I beg your pardon, three out of the four people we're going to mention are, how can I put this, dead. The first of those people who have a birthday today is Robert Burns. He's not George's son. He was the poet. Also born on this day is someone of whom most of you have not heard, but she was famous within a certain group, I guess. Etta James. Etta James was a singer, a blues and jazz singer. The most famous song that she did, which was something of a crossover into popular music, was At Last. So if you've ever heard the, and I'm not going to imitate her, you'll be glad to know, if you've ever heard the song At Last, she was the one who made the famous recording of it. And also born on January 25th was Virginia Woolf. Virginia Woolf was not a fictional character. She was a writer and a very good friend with Alice B. Toklas. And if you ever saw the movie Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, that has very little to do with it. In any event, the last birthday for today's date of famous people that we will mention, and I say famous people, I should add to that, there are apparently a lot more famous people who were born on January 25th, but I've never heard of many of them, so I can't say anything even reasonably coherent about those other people. But I can say something about Dean Jones. Dean Jones also has a birthday today. Dean Jones has been around forever, and he's in his 80s. I think he was 84 today. And the first thing in which I remember Dean Jones was a TV show. And if I asked for a show of hands of all the people who remembered this TV show, if I were looking at our entire audience, podcast and live, I would venture a strong guess. I would see maybe one hand. The TV show was called Ensign O'Toole, and Dean Jones starred in it, and there you are. Dean Jones has also been active in a very large Hollywood-based church. It's not really Hollywood, but a Hollywood celebrity church called, I think it's called Foursquare Church, in the San Fernando Valley in California. That's a church that's also occupied, utilized by people like Stephanie Zimbalist and her late father, and Pat Boone and Debbie Boone, and apparently someone there lights up her life. Anyway, yesterday was January 24th, because today's January 25th, that would stand to reason. Okay, January 24th, famous birthdays, some of whom are dead, some of whom are dead professionally, and a couple of people still have active careers. The guy who still has an active career, but a lot of people don't know it, is comedian Yakov Smirnoff. Yakov Smirnoff's birthday was yesterday, and he's 64, and he does an active bit of business in Branson, Missouri. He has his own club there, and he is really drawing crowds still after all these years. He's not that well-known in terms of TV as he used to be, but this is the guy, if you don't remember the name, who used to punctuate his comedy about being an immigrant from Russia to this country. He would punctuate many of his jokes with "What a country," referring to this one. Also, January 24th was the birthday. I mentioned Dean Jones and Ensign O'Toole. Yesterday's birthdays include the late Ernest Borgnine, and he was the star of McHale's Navy, which more people remember. For one thing, it played later, and also it was a lot more popular show, and frankly, a better one. And Ernie Borgnine on that show had an ensign as well, Ensign Parker. And the trivia question at the moment is, who played Ensign Parker? We'll come back. Also, yesterday's birthday is the late John Belushi and the late Sharon Tate. One of the people who was killed in the Tate-LaBianca murders by the Manson family was a guy by the name of Jay Sebring. Jay Sebring was one of the first famous Hollywood stylists whose fame crossed over into popular culture. There were other people. John Peters came later. There were a lot of other people who came later in terms of hairstylists, including Vidal Sassoon, a lot of others. Jay Sebring had a shop which was fairly close to where I lived as a child, and it was there when I was a child. And it was on a street in Los Angeles called Fairfax Avenue. I have no idea if it's still there. Fairfax Avenue is, of course, but I don't know if Sebring's shop is still there. One day I was walking past that shop. I walked a lot when I was a kid. I walked past that shop, and the door opened, and I was almost bumped into by Doug McClure, for those of you who remember Doug McClure, and those of you who don't. Also, yesterday's birthdays include Neil Diamond, whom a lot of people think is a singer, and a gymnast. Everybody knows is a gymnast. I don't know if she's still active, but Mary Lou Retton's birthday was yesterday. And finally, a friend of mine had a birthday yesterday, so Rick, if you're listening to this, happy birthday, belatedly by a day. And that's our celebrity, with the exception of Rick. He's famous in many people's minds. But that's our celebrity birthdays for this week. at least that we're going to talk about, because we only have a half hour show. We're not going to spend a lot of time on celebrity birthdays. Things we're going to talk about today do not include the Patriots, the Super Bowl, France, and terrorism. Okay, what we are going to talk about are free college, the idea proposed by the president. We're going to talk about Mario Cuomo and very briefly about Bill Gates. Let me tell you about Bill Gates, because I just want to touch on this. I am currently reading a book. Really? Yes, really. But the book is called American Sketches. It's written by Walter Isaacson, who has written a number of biographies, including that of Albert Einstein, Steve Jobs, and someone else I'm forgetting. Oh, Benjamin Franklin. Pretty good writer, really quite good. And in this book, American Sketches, he doesn't just do them. He has, taken them from other writings he's done, typically or principally for Time magazine, of which he was editor at one point. By the way, one day I'm going to do an article or a show on my pet peeves in English misuse. And one of them is when someone says about someone, he was formerly editor of Time, for example. You can't have been formerly something in the past unless you're dead. So, for example, it would be appropriate to say that Walter Isaacson is the former editor of Time. It is not appropriate, as far as I know, he's still living. It is not appropriate to say he was the former editor of Time, because, well, if that's not obvious, I apologize. But he was the editor of Time. He is the former editor of Time. Anyway, he wrote a sketch about Bill Gates and interviewed him, and speaking of English misuse, and some very interesting things. One of the things that was in there was that Bill Gates was sent by his parents at about age 12 to a psychologist, and Gates is very open about this. It's not a secret. The reason he was sent to the psychologist is because he was at something of a war with his mother. And the story that is told to illustrate that is one time, and by the way, Bill Gates' mother, I should tell you before the story, was a very bright woman, not necessarily compared to her son, but she was a very bright woman. And she called him down to dinner one night. He was upstairs in his bedroom, and he didn't show up. And finally she yelled up and says to him, "What are you doing up there?" And he said, "I'm thinking." She said, "You're thinking?" He said, "Yes, mother, thinking. Have you ever tried it?" And I cringed when I read that. But, the other thing I was thinking is that the Patriot story notwithstanding, he did not have deflated. Well, you get the idea. Okay, but an interesting story anyway. He later made peace with his mother, you'll be happy to know. Mario Cuomo, I want to touch upon briefly. Mario Cuomo died during the last week, more correctly since we've last been together. Mario Cuomo, as most people know, was governor of New York three terms. He also was a comptroller of the state prior to that. And the first time he won for governor, he beat in the primary, which in New York is tantamount to winning the election, or was at that time. He beat Ed Koch, who had been mayor of New York City. And Koch was an interesting character, let's say. Mario Cuomo could have been president of the United States. He wasn't president of the United States because he chose not to run. More specifically, in 1992, as the campaign period was approaching, it was suggested to him that he run. He said, "Nobody's going to be able to run against President Bush." He was referring to the first President Bush, because all he has to say is, "I won the Gulf War and my opponent is a bum." And as it turned out, he was wrong. I mean, Bush did win the Gulf War, but he was wrong about the efficacy of running against him, as Bill Clinton proved, because things got worse for the president later, partly because he raised taxes after pledging not to. But anyway, Bill Clinton himself has said that if Mario Cuomo had gotten involved in the primaries, he, Clinton, would not have won. He may have been kidding, or he may have just been being modest, which, as you know, is a great characteristic of Bill Clinton. But whatever, he did say that himself. And if you listen to Mario Cuomo talk, unless you are just opposed to him politically and unable to open your mind up to listen to what he says, you listen to this guy, and I heard a replayed interview, obviously replayed since he's dead, I heard a replayed interview with him from this that was replayed last week with Diane Rehm on NPR. You listen to this guy and you think, good Lord, this guy makes so much sense, and he's so bright and so humane and so decent. I'm not saying that his son Andrew lacks all of those qualities, but he has other qualities that may make him a little bit more of a liability should he decide to run for president. But Cuomo would have been, in my opinion, magnificent, but under any circumstance, an intellect you've just got to admire. Let's now get to the principal part of our show tonight. But first, let me remind you and invite you to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com and specifically the Amazon banner there. Also, I wanted to remind you, and we will again, as I said, but probably not during the show unless we have extra time at the end, that beginning in mid to late February, we'll be starting a show on Thursdays at the same time, 4:30 Mountain for now, but always 6:30 Eastern. And that show will also be 30 minutes, and it will be interviews. So we have some people that we're in the process of lining up. If you know of a good guest and you'd like to share the idea with us, especially if you know how to reach that guest, we're looking for authors and scientists, authors who have somewhat current books out or books pending. And additionally, perhaps scientists or business people who have something interesting to say other than touting their own business or tooting their own horn. We'd love to hear from you, again, if you know how to reach them. And you can contact us, I apologize, at TJB, T as in Tom, J as in Joe, B as in Bum, TJBRadio@gmail.com. We'd love to know of any suggestions you might have for those guests. In the interim, let's talk now about free college. President Obama suggested that the first 2 years of college or community college should be made free for all of those who wish to attend and can maintain a certain level of grade point average, I believe something like a C. And the first thing that happened, of course, is the Republicans in Congress and in the public domain, if you will, were saying, this is ridiculous, it's impossible, how are we going to pay for that, so on. I want to talk about the funding, and I want to talk about why it's a good idea. We started to last week, but we didn't get a chance to really go into it, so let me try to do that now. The first thing is that following World War II, after the mass, large numbers of American men, principally some women, who served during World War II came back, they were given the opportunity to go to college with essentially no cost out of pocket and by the government paying for it. It was referred to as the GI Bill. And it also allowed them to buy houses. That's another part of the story. But the fact is that that's what created the burgeoning middle class of this country. And having a strong middle class is what makes the economy strong, because those are the people who make the purchases. And as every economist will tell you, approximately two-thirds of the United States gross domestic product is based on consumer spending. So if you have people who can go to college and therefore get better jobs, these people will drive the U.S. economy. Not a bad idea. But let's talk, too, about funding. One of the problems with funding college in this country is that the costs of college have changed. Everybody knows that. That's not new. But it's not just the amount of dollars that it takes to go to college being much greater than when some of us went to college. The difference is, in the, if you will, the old days, the idea was is that state-supported institutions should be tuition-free to students. You still have to pay for your books. You might have to pay a few fees. But tuition itself was free. When I went to school a million years ago, we were on a quarter system when I went to school. And it was $106 a quarter. So for $320 approximately a year, I could go to UCLA. And did. And the $106 was referred to as an incidental fee, which allowed me to have a certain number of incidents, I imagine. But now, and since Ronald Reagan was governor of California, this has changed around the country. Now students are expected to pay tuition. That's true throughout the United States. He began a trend. But that's not true everywhere. Okay? In some places, they've got a program, I believe it's in Utah, where they're working on paying for the first 2 years, or maybe it's Nevada. I really don't remember. I knew this last week. I don't know it now. But Take another country. Take Germany, please. No, but take Germany. In Germany, the students do not pay tuition. And it doesn't matter, by the way, if you're German. You could go there from the United States and get free tuition to go to the university. I imagine you might have to speak German, but hopefully, well, never mind. I was going to make a terrible joke, which would be unfair to Germany. But you would probably have to speak German, even though people there speak English. The classes, I'm sure, are taught in German. So, in fact, English literature might be taught in German for all I know. But tuition is free. The government pays for it. Now, the cost of college to the government there is substantially less than the cost of college here. And the reason is simple. In this country, when they began to move up tuition, they also began to improve on a federal level student loan programs. And although there have been some cutbacks, student loans are substantially the way most people go to college, particularly when they're going to a university. So junior college in many places is not cheap, but it's substantially less expensive than it is to go to a university. So what a lot of people do is they'll go to junior college for the first 2 years of their college education and then spend years 3 and 4 at the state-supported or private university. I know on that score I'm not telling you anything new. But a lot of people, because costs have gone up, even in the community colleges or junior colleges, it is still a case where students need to work or get student loans or both. And the truth is, I don't think working when you're going to college is a horrible thing. I worked when I went to college, and look at me now. but seriously, working while you're going to college is not something that is an awful experience. If you had to work full-time and go to school full-time, that's an awful experience. But if you can work part-time and go to school full-time or vice versa, nothing is wrong with that. Lots of people have done it. Lots of people have succeeded who have done that. The problem is when school is so expensive that even working full-time and trying to go to school part-time is too expensive, then you're cutting out a lot of people. And for all I know, if I were going to school, if I were in the same position I was in when I actually did go to college, the current cost of community college and certainly the university, which I went to from the beginning, so that experience that I had would not be available to me if I were at that stage of life again, heaven forbid. So what I'm saying is we have to find a way to first reduce the cost of college. So one of the things that might happen is we could say to the community colleges and perhaps ultimately universities, but certainly community colleges, the government will pay for students to go to college. And it's community college, assuming they maintain a C average. But you have to lower the cost of college that we're going to pay for. And you have to lower it for everybody. Because they're going to get a lot more money. They're going to have a lot more students. And granted, there are going to be some more costs. But in a business sense, they'll have a lot more customers. Okay. But the reality is for that, they have to reduce the cost so that the government is paying less per student. Now, the next question is, okay, where do we find the money, even at that reduced cost, to pay for it? Government pays for things in one of a few ways, okay? That is, they pay for it, they write a check, but where do they get the money? And there's two ways that government gets money to pay for things that we as a country, through Congress, have decided are worth paying for. What are those ways? Well, everybody knows about taxes, right? If we think that going to war in Syria and Iraq are important to defeat ISIS, we pay for it. And some people think it's a horrible idea, but let's say if you think it's a wonderful idea or an okay idea, we pay for it in part by saying to the American people, okay, look, this is going to cost everybody an extra nickel or dime or whatever. This is going to cost everybody some money, but it's something we have to do as a country to protect ourselves or whatever the program is in order to achieve a goal that we can all pretty much agree is an urgent and vital goal. Taxes are one way. The other way we do things is, in terms of funding, is we borrow the money. Okay. Now, there are a lot of people who don't understand how government works in terms of the economics, who say we shouldn't ever borrow money to pay for programs. We can cut other programs and use the money we're using for those to pay for programs, or we need to tax people to pay for it. A lot of the people who say we shouldn't borrow also say we shouldn't tax any more than we do. But aside from the illogic of that, having people go to college and having a two-year degree, either so they are then motivated to go to a four-year university for the last 2 years, or just to go out and begin a vocation for which they've now been educated in the community college. And by the way, we should include trade school in that for those who want to do that. But in order to fund that, borrow the money. Okay, we borrow the money to go ahead and pay for defense, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. We borrow money to pay for all kinds of things. And the way we borrow money is the government issues bonds, which are purchased by investors in this country and outside this country, and they get a rate of interest. Right now, and for the foreseeable future, the rate of interest we're paying on those bonds is damn near zero because the American economy is so sound, at least relative to other economies, that investors around the world would rather buy our bonds than buy bonds, say, in Western Europe, or invest in the ruble, or the Swiss franc, okay? So the investment here is a good investment for investors. It's such a good investment that they're willing to take a very low interest rate. And the way in which that would boost the economy in just a few years, possibly more immediately, because, again, with all those new customers going to the community colleges, you're going to be selling more books, more junk food, all kinds of stuff that you otherwise wouldn't sell because the government money's in their hands or in the college's hands, and they're going to be spending it. Okay, but even outside of that, 2 years later, you're going to have new plumbers, new electricians, new mechanics, and 4 years later, you're going to have people who have bachelor's degrees who can get jobs that they couldn't have gotten without them. So you're going to have more high-paying jobs than you would have otherwise. You're going to boost the economy like crazy. It is worth borrowing the money for that. The other factor is that those people whom we're putting through school, by the way, that was whom we're putting through school, speaking of English, those people whom we're putting through school are then going to be, guess what, taxpayers. So you'll have more revenues as a result of that. Now, there are a lot of conservative people who say if we cut taxes, then the people who are getting this new money are going to put that money into the economy. Well, depending on whose taxes you cut, that can or cannot be true. Generally speaking, the higher income the person who receives the tax cut, the smaller proportion of it, this is not opinion, it's fact, the smaller proportion of that they put into the economy. But when you're talking about taking, so the bottom line on that is not all that money does go into the economy, but tends to be short-term. But if you give somebody the opportunity to get a college education and they get it, and now they're out there and they're working with that bachelor's degree, they're going to be higher payers of taxes because they have higher incomes, and they're going to be in that position not for a week, not for a year, but for decades, for their entire working life. If that's not a sound investment, I don't know what is. And maybe we can, in that one sense, copy the German model. We're about out of time. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you join us next week at 6:30 Eastern. And that time next week will be on, that date rather next week will be on February the 1. So February 1st, please join us live or listen afterwards in podcast as you're doing now, if that's what you're doing. And although it's time for us to leave, we want to urge you to please be kind to each other. And although you're going away, which is what I was starting to say, please, 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 don't go away mad. Good night, everybody.